We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Let's go, Herb!
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
Previously on the Lawrence Holmes Show.
So last night, Bulls had a 17-point lead. They were in control most of the game, but the Clippers were kind of hanging in there. It's 83-78. This is game time. This is your NBA game right here. Could go either way. And I knew the Bulls were going to win, and that's because they have two finishers on this team. Two guys who were sky high last night in terms of their playing. DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine. And it is just a luxury to have. And I remember watching so many Bulls games last year where they were at that exact point, and I would look at the Bulls and I would look at the opposition. I would say, who has the best closers? And it usually wasn't the Bulls. In this case, I was like, the Bulls have the dudes. DeRozan and LaVine. LaVine, who had been kind of quiet, but all of a sudden in crunch time, a couple of huge threes. The one from the corner that made it 86-78, and then the catch and shoot three as well. DeRozan was hitting all of his mid-range jumpers, so it was terrific to watch it and know in my mind the Bulls were going to win because they had the two better finishers, closers, and that is something the Bulls have not had in a while.
Make me a bicycle, clown!
Drop. Mark Grody in for Lawrence Holmes here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We're going to talk a lot about the Bulls today. A 121-103 win over the disinterested Los Angeles Lakers last night. Bulls just blitzed LA last night. Their most impressive win of the early season to make the Bulls 10-4 on the year. I've got at least 10 things jotted down on my play sheet that I want to get into about the Bulls. Many of those things I will ask our next guest, Cody Westerlund, going to be on from 670thescore.com. He covers the Bulls for us, and he is a regular here on The Score and on the Lawrence Holmes Show. And at 1 o'clock, Big Bear segment with Cam Ellis of 670thescore.com. So we'll take a quick break, come back, and we're going full Bulls with Cody Westerlund next. Mark Grody, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
Rondo holds and looks 65 feet away near sideline and play to Horton Tucker. Over the timeline to Bazemore. One bounce, lets it fly. The jumper is good. They're going to wave it off. Bottom line, Bulls win! Bulls win! Bulls win! 121-103.
Chuck Swirsky right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The score last night, Bulls dominated the Lakers last night. He said 121 to 103. Mark Grody filling in for Lawrence Holmes on the score today. And let's keep the Bulls talk red hot. Cody Westerlund covers the Bulls for 670thescore.com. He joins me now on the Circa Resort and Casino hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. What's going on, Cody?
How you doing today, Grody?
I am well. So what was the best part of the Bulls win last night? There's so many things. But what stands out?
Well, I think last night, again, we need to not stray too far from DeMar DeRozan, because I think what he's doing is simply spectacular. So there's a lot to break down in all these Bulls games now, because the whole team's playing so well and they're getting contributions from so many. They're making good adjustments. But, like, it's starting with DeMar DeRozan every single night. He's third in the NBA in scoring. He's doing it at an efficient rate. I had 38 last night, might have had 40, was joking after the game. He got tired, wasn't really out there for too much longer chasing hoops at the end, even though Zach LaVine wanted him to get two more to get that 40 spot. But he's just been sensational night after night after night, Grody. Like, off the top of my head, like, maybe one game that he had, it seems like, was poor. He's at least bringing just that baseline of solid play every single night. You know you're going to get 27 points from him almost every night, and he's just transformed the team. And it's not just because he's scoring, but this guy takes care of the basketball so well. And we know turnovers have been a problem for the Bulls in recent years, and they've been a turnover for Zach LaVine, but when he doesn't have to handle the ball as much, they're not as big of a problem for him. There's not as big of a problem for others. So, like, just his presence and what he does well, the traits he brings to the basketball floor, like, it's transforming the team in a lot of ways. So I think I would start with DeMar DeRozan when you ask about that, because, again, everyone's making contributions, but this guy is an early season MVP candidate.
Is what he is doing right now sustainable, Cody? Is this him?
Yeah, I think it's sustainable for the most part. I mean, I don't know if we should expect him to hit 1 3-pointer every game, because he didn't do that a lot in recent years. But when he's wide open, he's knocking them down right now. Shooting 51% from the field, that might tick down a tad, just because he is at times so reliant on that mid-range game, and he has been so hot, it seems like. But this is a guy, one of the best in the NBA at getting to the free throw line. I see no reason why that should stop. I see no reason why what he's doing night after night when it comes to getting to his spots on the floor, still sharing the ball well with his teammates, pitching in on the rebounding front, and just doing what this team needs. And taking on that responsibility every night, too, in big moments to help the Bulls kind of stem runs of other teams or make big plays in clutch moments. I think pretty much everything he's doing is sustainable. Obviously, there might be a slight downtick in the efficiency just because he has been so good on that front. But, yeah, you have to think that's why the Bulls got him. That's what he's doing, and they expect him to keep it up.
You mentioned sharing the ball. That is no problem with it. It seems to me, to that end, that they're – it's early, but there does not appear to be any issue between him and Zach LaVine, and that had to have been a small concern going into the season.
Absolutely, that was a fair concern to have. And I think Zach, on that front that you bring it up, like, he deserves credit, right? Because this is a contract year for him, and naturally anyone in a contract year wants to have a huge year. You want to be the number one guy every single night, and Zach has had no problems taking a back seat to DeMar DeRozan when DeMar's hot, and kind of playing wingman sometimes. Now, it's easy when you're scoring 25, 26 points too still and getting yours. It's easier to play wingman rather than scoring 15 points a night. So by no means is Zach not getting his too. But, like, DeRozan has been the guy the offense runs through in some big moments. Zach's been fine with that. I think he's gotten some easier shots. So I think that's a testament to Zach LaVine's unselfishness. And I think that's kind of just bled through the whole team when you add these new guys like DeMar DeRozan and then Lonzo Ball and Alex Caruso. Like, these guys have all been unselfish players in previous stops in their career for the most part. And not that Zach was in the past, but he was asked to do so much that it felt like he always had to do everything. And when he shared the ball, it was to teammates who couldn't play make as well. Well, now he's got teammates helping make plays for him, and he's accepted that. And we've seen it on his Olympic gold medal run with Team USA, where he had a different role and such. Certainly doesn't have that role with the Bulls, but he has stepped back just a little bit and let DeMar lead the way when the Bulls have needed to. And it's working out brilliantly. I thought the offense, I thought DeMar DeRozan was going to be a big help to the offense, but I didn't expect it to be this smooth this quickly, yeah. Just how everything's gone.
No doubt. Cody Westerlund covers the Bulls for 670thescore.com. I'm Mark Grody filling in for Lawrence Holmes here on The Score. And maybe Lonzo Ball is playing with a chip on his shoulder, you know, coming from the high stock that he did in the NBA, now on his third team, 7 of 10 from 3. Why does he look so comfortable with the Bulls, and what was it about him and his other stops that they thought he was expendable?
Yeah, that's the great question. No one understands what David Griffin and the Pelicans were doing this offseason when they had some measure of leverage and control over Lonzo Ball with him being a restricted free agent. And say what you want, they just let him walk to Chicago. I know they got, a second-round draft pick and Satoransky and a little bit there in the sign-and-trade, but for what Lonzo Ball's doing for the Bulls, and it might end up costing them another first-round pick depending on the outcome of the tampering investigation. Even if it does, it's worth it for this Bulls team, what he's giving night to night. And I don't think that he's doing anything that's drastically different for what he was doing for the Pelicans. Like, he's still more of a three-point shooter in the half court, still a little bit more of an off-ball guy in the half court. It's just that, like, this Bulls team needed that, and I think they appreciate it more. The looks are probably a little cleaner. He's still not a guy who's going to go to the rim and finish strong possession after possession. You're not putting him in pick and roll 30 times a game at the top of the key or anything like that. So I don't think he was asked to change a great deal. I just feel like Lonzo's unselfishness is a trait the Bulls needed so much, and that shined through, that I think we're like, whoa, is this what he was before? Well, yeah, it's what he was before. He just wasn't playing on a team that needed it as much, maybe at the time, and the way their system was flourishing, or the way their system was being run. I don't know that that trait could flourish as much, but like, we see it play after play in this Bulls game. Like, Zach LaVine's good at getting up and down the court. Some of these other guys on the Bulls are good at running too. And Lonzo is a fantastic hit-ahead passer, and he's throwing those passes to Zach. Sometimes last night, Zach LaVine throws him one for an easy bucket as well that they got really excited about. But I just think it's really just a matter of fit. Like, I've always liked Lonzo Ball's game dating back to UCLA, and he just does a lot of things on the court well, and that makes you a very well-rounded, solid player, and that's what the Bulls needed. Too many one-dimensional players in past years, and Lonzo also knows his weaknesses. We've seen him struggle finishing at the rim sometimes on two-pointers, and then he goes out there, and like you said, like 7 of 10 on three-pointers, he knows, you know what, I need to go shoot three-pointers, let Zach and DeMar finish at the rim a little bit more. So he knows how to mitigate his weaknesses as well, and he's done a little bit of that.
Kobe White, back for the first time last night, played 10 minutes. I think he did goose egg as far as scoring is concerned. What did you make of his return and Kobe White going forward?
Yeah, well, it was great to see him on the court. You know, like, this is a guy that meant a lot to the Bulls last year. He was asked to do too much by this team, frankly, to be a lead guard, to be that lead point guard. And I think he's going to fit in a lot better this year for the Bulls when he's fully healthy, fully in form. Again, just when he's back from the shoulder injury. And it's something that could take a few games here, maybe a couple weeks for him to feel 100% comfortable. But this is a guy that's going to be asked to space the floor. The Bulls are one of the lowest volume three-point shooting teams in the NBA, even though they can hit them at a solid clip. They just need guys to hoist some more that are comfortable doing so time and again. And, you know, in a way, like, these guys like Javonte Green, like, when he's wide open in the corner a few times a game to shoot three-pointers, that's fine, but he's not a guy that's comfortable shooting 8 three-pointers in a game or something, and Kobe White is. So I imagine he'll come off the bench and be asked to provide a scoring punch for a bench that has played well for long stretches, but the bench has been carried from an offensive standpoint by DeMar DeRozan for long stretches, or maybe someone else in the starting unit who plays on that reserve unit. So the Bulls could use more scoring punch from their bench just because they have been so reliant on Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan, and over the course of 82 games, they might wear down a little bit, or that just might be a lot to ask. Their efficiency could drop a little bit. So you want to see someone like Kobe step up, and I think he's going to have that option. Now, he's got to get used to, I think, a little bit how he'll be used in this system. Like, this Bulls team isn't going to ask him to be on the ball as much. So at the end of the year last year, we kind of saw him off the ball with some two-man game with Nikola Vucevic. Maybe we see that again. Maybe we see him spotting up a little bit more and being that secondary penetrator or initiator of an offense, getting to the hoop and stuff. But I think they want him to stand out there and fire away and shoot when he gets open looks, and I think that's something he can do well when he's comfortable.
Is there any part of this, and I don't want to be like Debbie Downer to this Bulls party, which essentially we've been having on the score since the season started. It's been, the Bulls are fun. They're great. They're awesome. This is the best. It's so, especially relative to the last couple of years. But is there anything in the big picture where we look at the Bulls and say, yeah, we got to keep it as good as things are, we got to keep an eye on fill in the blank that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it goes back a little bit to their size and defensive rebounding. It's been amazing to me, Grody, that this team's ninth or 10th in the NBA in defensive rebounding rate. Like, that should be a weakness on paper, right? Because they're playing small lineups and just playing bigger teams a lot of times, and their guards are getting after it. You know, like, Vucevic is doing his job down there when he's been healthy before he landed in COVID protocols rebounding. But, like, Lonzo Ball chipping in, DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine, these guys are really buying into that. But that hasn't been a problem yet. I still think it's a potential problem. They're going to have to team rebound really well all year. We already saw here Derrick Jones Jr. getting a little bit more run as the five last night against the Lakers. Worked out brilliantly. The guy played his tail off, followed the game plan to perfection, really, and gave them what they needed. But if you move forward and look, like, that could still be a problem, in my opinion, for the Bulls is one area. Like, they're kind of reliant sometimes now on forcing turnovers from a defensive perspective, and they do that really well. Like, Caruso and Lonzo Ball get after the ball, slap it away, get the Bulls out in transition. But when you face teams that are a little bit more disciplined, take care of the ball a little bit better teams, like, then the defensive rebounding becomes more important. And I think that's something, an indicator that I'll watch for much of the year to see how that's doing. Like, if that fades, they could have a lot of trouble against, you know, elite teams or really good teams. If they can hang in there and gang rebound as a team, I think they can be okay to still play at a really high level against the best.
Cody, love talking Bulls ball with you. Thank you for joining the Lawrence Holmes Show, as always, my friend.
Thank you very much, and have a good rest of the show.
Yeah, man. Take care. Have a great day. That's Cody Westerlin, covers the Bulls for 670thescore.com. Coming up 1 o'clock, we'll talk to Cam Ellis about the Bears. He writes for 670thescore.com. And directly ahead, let's start to dig into the Bears versus Baltimore game for this Sunday, noon at Soldier Field. The Ravens were beaten. I will tell you how and if the Bears can do the same thing. It's the Lawrence Holmes Show. Brody filling in on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670, The Score and Odyssey Station.
Mark Brody filling in for Lawrence Holmes today. Appreciate all you texters and twitchers. Texters at 312-644-6767. And the overwhelming feedback from the texters and the twitchers today. A lot of good stuff, mostly good stuff, but a lot of critics on my Lawrence Holmes bass drop to begin the show. Look, I feel like I've come a long way from from talking over the bass drop to actually acknowledging it and doing it. But that's Lawrence's thing, man. I'm not supposed to be good at the bass drop. And guess what? Lawrence is back on Thursday. Zach Zabin will be in tomorrow, and I am here with you until 1 o'clock on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score, Cam Ellis of The Score, will join me to talk Bears at 1 o'clock. Let's talk about the Bears and Baltimore Ravens. They will go at it on Sunday at Soldier Field, and the Baltimore Ravens coming off a thumping at the hands of the Miami Dolphins. Who would have thunk it that the Dolphins took care of the Ravens in pretty overwhelming fashion? And there were some ways that the very distinct ways that Miami won that game. The Dolphins, check me out, Haw. The Dolphins disguised their coverage 44% of Lamar Jackson's dropbacks in the first half. That's according to ESPN stats info. Number two from Next Gen Stats. This is crazy. Miami safeties Javon Holland and Brandon Jones combined for 38 blitzes, more than any DBs in the game this year, and the most in the next gen stats era, which goes back to 2016. So they were very simply on the attack of Lamar Jackson, and it worked to a T. Jalen Johnson spoke yesterday at Hallis Hall, and if you are a cornerback or a safety, you got to be kind of rubbing your hands together thinking, yeah, we saw that. We see that. Like to get into some of that, Sean Desai. But look, Jalen Johnson had the right answer to that concept. Here's Jalen.
Looking at that film, is there anything specific that you've learned that says, oh, maybe we can do this to shut them down as well?
I mean, I thought the theme of that game was to give them different looks and get pressure. I thought they did that pretty much all game, was in constant pressure, making the ball come out high, making them really go through their route progression. I mean, it's kind of hard to do that when you got 6 and 7 people coming. Had a good game plan. The Ravens didn't adjust to it. So, I mean, I'm pretty sure that they're going to prepare for that look again. I mean, there's going to be plenty of teams that are going to see that film. So, I mean, just really being able to go in and find out what our attack is going to be able to be against those guys.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the part. I don't know that you could duplicate some concepts of it, and you know, part of Sean Desai's thing, if you want to go back to the Vic Fangio thing and being, you know, protege and all that kind of stuff. It, you know, the magic of Vic Fangio was the ability to disguise coverages, and Sean Desai has taken from some of that as well, which is obviously a good thing. I don't know that I've ever seen anybody with the Bears better at it than Vic Fangio, but Sean Desai knows it and he sees it. There were other things too in that win, a couple of things. You did have an Xavien Howard force fumble and a 49-yard touchdown, which obviously you can't put into the game plan if you are the Bears. You also had the Tua factor. Tua Tagovailoa comes in the game for Jacoby Brissett, so that gave them a little bit of a bounce. And the heat factor, because Lamar Jackson was talking about that. And I will tell you, from experience in covering a Bears game in Miami, I don't remember when, but that was the sweatiest day of my career. It is, you know, Florida, it is a swamp. It was a three-shirt day.
Yeah, I remember that game. It was that Brock Osweiler quarterbacking?
Yes, big
and
Brock.
Everybody was like, the Bears are going to kill Brock Osweiler. Yeah. And then Brock Osweiler was like, I always beat the Bears, so you're going to lose again. And
yes.
I think from your reports, they put the Bears on the sunshine side.
They did. Yes.
To make them just get worn out.
I have never seen, look, I have been in the extraordinary, I'll still take the swamp over the cold, because cold just, when you can't keep yourself warm anymore, it is torture. But I think that was the most miserable I've ever seen the Bears players on that sideline. And I was too, being on the sideline as a sideline reporter. It was just like, you can't stop the sweat. You know, it's like Jake Arrieta pitching against Pittsburgh, trying to get a hold of the baseball because he's sweating so much, and you just can't stop it. So when Lamar Jackson says that, it sounds like a horrible excuse. But if you're not, like, ready for that, and they play half their games in Baltimore where it is temperate, there is an effect.
And Lamar is from the area, too. He's from Florida. So he's used to hot weather, but also not all the time.
Right.
Doesn't play there all the time. So it's a thing.
Yeah. And I remember, like, hating to have to say it during that Bears game or after that Bears game. It was like, holy crap, the heat is a factor. And I remember the reporters asking some of the players about the heat, the Bears, that is, leading up to that game, and a lot of them discounting it and saying, yeah, no big deal, you know, it's one game. Hey, we're looking forward to getting into the sunshine. And then they just looked drippy and miserable and ended up losing that game to the Dolphins.
Wasn't Albert Wilson, like, catching everything and going everywhere
yes.
to the end zone? He, like, had one of the greatest games. I was like, Albert Wilson? Come on now.
He had heat immunity, though, Herb, let's face it. You know, he had the shot. So he was good to go. But, yeah, no. It is an absolutely real thing. What I would like to see, of course you have to tinker with some of that. I don't know if, you know, Tashaun Gibson and whomever else is playing safety, whether it's DeAndre Houston Carson or Vettie Jackson is back, like if you're going to go with all the blitzing like Miami did. But I think that you can get creative. And, you know, one of my favorite defensive plays that the Bears have been doing since 2018 with Vic Fangio, how about Roquan Smith's first play from scrimmage against the Packers, dialed up blitz. Roquan Smith is so good at getting to the quarterback when they assign him to do that. He finds a way to either knock the quarterback down, sack him, or to disrupt the play. So more of that, some from the safeties as well. But at least you found that you there is a template to fluster them, and you're not going to be able to do all of that. But I think some of that certainly is in play for the Bears when they host Baltimore on Sunday. Coming up next, let's keep the Bears talk going. We'll talk to Cam Ellis of 670thescore.com. I'm Mark Grody, filling in for Lawrence Holmes here on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.